listening to Pushing the Odds, powered by O'Reilly Auto Parts and Quicken Loans. Live from Las Vegas, here's your host, Matt Perrault.
I wish that there was a way to keep these refs a little bit more responsible sometimes. Guys smell like alcohol and cigarettes, so who knows what he was doing. I wish they drug tested them. I immediately, when I saw that ref, was like, man, is there a way to, like, veto a ref and get a new one? I wonder that. As fighters, do we have that choice? I wish we did.
You know, sometimes you just don't know what someone's going to say when they're on the mic and when they're on interview with you. And I kind of felt for our next guest, Megan O'Leary of ESPN and the UFC was interviewing Dominic Cruz after UFC 249. And then that comment comes out and it goes viral and goes everywhere. And boy, it was something. Megan O'Leary joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Megan, Matt Perrault, how are you?
Hey, Matt. Great. How are you?
Okay, so what was your internal voice doing when Dominic Cruz said that on Saturday night?
I was just honestly really surprised. I was genuinely surprised.
All right, so you were on site, obviously. So I'll just let you describe what it was like. How different was it without fans? And just what was the experience? You're still there now, so you guys have two more events, Wednesday and Saturday. But what was the first one like?
Yeah, you know, the first one for us who worked it was honestly, it was really fun. It felt really special. Obviously there are tons of precautions in place. So when I arrived to the arena, everyone was in masks, much lighter crew, and then certainly a lot less arena employees. There were still some arena employees working on the levels where we were doing our jobs, and they actually were tremendous. The arena employees were constantly going around cleaning and sanitizing everything. So a lot of those things are different. In terms of not having fans, that was definitely a change. There were some times where it was good, and sometimes, where you obviously miss that crowd energy. But for us, to be able to work in such a different environment, especially for a huge pay-per-view like this, it was really interesting. It was really fun. I think it brought our commentary team that's already really close, myself, John Anik, Daniel Cormier, and Joe Rogan, I think it kind of like bonded us together even more because we were all just kind of like, all right, let's see what happens, and just flying by the seat of our pants. And, they were being heard by the fighters. They were hearing the fighters breathing. I could hear them when I was backstage, and then, I had to not be too loud because that could bleed over to the people in the arena. So it was wild, man. It was really wild.
You know, the one thing that was interesting, Megan, is that you saw, we heard after the fights that guys like Greg Hardy and Carlos Esparza and even I think Justin Gaethje even talked about it, that they could hear what Daniel Cormier was saying, and he's giving advice as a commentator. He's giving advice. So like the fighters are like, that's one of the smartest minds in MMA history telling me what I should be doing. It's almost like having a coach in there. It's unintended, but how clearly could you hear Anik and Rogan and DC in the arena?
Oh, absolutely, clearly. I mean, the fact that they in reverse could hear the fighters breathing, pretty much tells you all you need to know. It certainly was a very unique situation. And, I think it's fun when all fighters say that they could hear Daniel, but I also think like they deserve a lot of credit because in the silence, obviously you're hyper-focused, you're fighting a person, you're hearing your coaches, plus you're hearing their coaches a little bit, I'm sure. But then to be able to pick out DC's voice and actually, take in the things he is suggesting, I mean, I think that deserves a lot of credit because there are times when people will hear their corner and still not be able to kind of comprehend what what's being said to them and make those adjustments. So I think they actually deserve some credit for being able to listen to Coach DC in there.
Some coaches said that they were going to try to use code words with their fighters in order to help them and not give away the strategy. As we go into Wednesday, into Saturday, do you think that might be more prevalent where coaching teams do have certain keywords rather than saying what they really mean?
Yeah, but you know what? I actually think that's so prevalent in our sport anyway. Like this on Wednesday, Mark Henry is cornering Sajara Eubanks, and Mark Henry is a coach who's infamous for not calling combos the way anybody else would. He has code words for all of them. Most fighters, for their combos, they'll call it something that nobody else will because it's just a combo they saw and they named it. You know what I mean? So I think we'll see it, but I also think sometimes in the heated moment, things that you just do last minute like that are going to go out the window anyway. But I think, you know, yes, of course, if they pull first of 1-2 or something, yeah, the opponent's going to know what it is. But it doesn't necessarily mean they can stop it either just because they hear it, you know?
Right. Megan Levy joining us here and pushing the odds. So after what happened, and Dom Cruz was very angry at the stoppage, but Henry Cejudo wins, he's got two belts he's walking away into retirement with. He's freeing up both the flyweight division and the bantamweight division. This is a pretty big deal, is it not, about the fact that now the UFC's got two open belts they have to go and find champions for?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a big deal for the belt, and I think it's a big deal for Henry. You know, he won a gold medal in the Olympics, and he walked away from wrestling. He won two belts and successfully defended them both, and is walking away from mixed martial arts. And, you know, that's an incredible thing to do that most people don't have as a blessing, where they can leave on top on their own accord. And so then the flyweight belt has been vacated because he didn't want to move back down. And then the bantamweight belt is now vacated. So the flyweight belt will be a rematch between Joseph Benavidez and Davidson Figueiredo. And then Dana said the bantamweight belt will include Peter Yan and then a to-be-determined. And there's actually quite a good amount of contenders at bantamweight. It's a really strong division. So I'm sure between, you know, Aljamain Sterling and Marlon Moraes and Corey Sandhagen and a couple of the other guys at the top, even Dominic Cruz, they'll be, you know, back in the mix shortly.
Interesting. Okay, so the headline fight was everything we thought it could be. I'm not sure we thought it was going to go the way that it was going to go, but the performance from Justin Gaethje, Megan, afterwards he said he got his eyes fixed. This guy now can see where he's throwing his punches, I guess, because he was so pinpoint. I mean, how big of a performance? What do you make of what Justin Gaethje did on Saturday night?
Justin Gaethje did what every fighter dreams of, is getting an opportunity on a massive platform with the world watching, and performed the greatest he had ever performed in his career. He not only was so lethal in there, but he was patient. He was composed. He did everything right. Even, you know, he's kind of having a little bit of fun after the fourth round, and his coach, Trevor Whitman, who's just wonderful, was like, hey, don't mess around. Don't take this round off. Remember what's happened when you've done that before. You know, and that kind of like clicked Gaethje back into place to be able to finish it off. But he was just on. I mean, he couldn't miss. But on the flip side, to Tony's credit, Tony took everything Gaethje threw at him. Everything. I mean, and the referee had to stop it, to step in order to stop it. So, you know, certainly a testament to both of them as fighters and as people and as just warriors. But Justin Gaethje, I mean, the performance of a lifetime and earned himself their belt.
Yeah, it was incredible. And look, I know that the violence for 4.5 rounds, Ferguson took a lot of beating, a lot of punishments. He broke an orbital bone, but it was nice to see him dancing, Megan, on Saturday. It was nice to see him be up and about, and he's fine, at least. I mean, he's bruised and battered, but wasn't it good to see him up after the amount of punishment he took?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I saw Tony backstage, too, so to be able to see him, like, you know, doing everything on his own accord always feels good. And then, yeah, I think he's flying home today or tomorrow, so it's nice, and he deserves the time off. He's been in camp for a really long time. He was really supposed to fight Khabib, and then all this stuff changed. So I think he just really deserves some downtime with his wife and his son, and, you know, heal and relax and recuperate and do things on a timeline that is best for him and his health.
How does Conor McGregor factor into this division now? I mean, Gaethje and Nurmagomedov are going to be slated at some point. Does Conor fight on Fight Island? Does Conor wait till the fall? I mean, how does he factor in to the division right now in your mind?
Man, it's so interesting. He just went on kind of a tweeting spree. I don't know if he's still going out.
He's still doing it right now. That's why I'm bringing it up, because he's still tweeting like crazy.
You know, it's interesting. Certainly, the UFC's prerogative is only unify the two belts. So definitely the interim title, Khabib has the undisputed title. So they will unify those at some point down the road. Both Khabib and Justin said they'd like to fight this summer. So I could see that happening, especially since we're still not having more fans in the audience. And then, you know, I would not be surprised if Conor McGregor gets the first crack at whoever is victorious. I don't know if Conor wants to fight anyone in between, you know, in the downtime, you know, but it will be interesting to see how he factors in. I personally think, you know, Conor brings in so many fans that it would be so weird to see a Connor fight without a gate. So I don't really know what would happen there. But certainly competitively, you know, I would love to see him versus Justin. I know a lot of people want to see the rematch with Khabib. I think it could be interesting. I think either of those fights could be great. But I don't think that he fights anyone until they unify those belts or I don't know, something crazy happens.
Connor is saying that he wants to fight Justin, not fight Khabib. He's saying he's calling Khabib a rat again, and then he's saying after this division demolition job, it's 170. So Connor again talking about going up to a third division and winning a third weight class. So Connor on Twitter right now is quite the entertainment. He's really going pretty crazy. Megan, before I let you go, what do you guys expect out of Wednesday? What do you expect out of Saturday? I mean, how is this going to be business as usual for you guys for the foreseeable future, as how with testing and protocols and how the entire system is going to work? And then once you guys come back here, hopefully on May 23rd to Nevada, to the Apex, this is now how you guys are going to have to do things.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I mean, we have to do things as safely as possible for as long as possible. And that's what we are, you know, trying to do here. And so I think Wednesday and Saturday will be very similar to our fight this past Saturday. And I actually think we are all now, we've been here a few days, so we're all kind of accustomed to, you know, the daily health checks and making sure we all have our masks on. I don't think it will even feel as weird as Saturday did, because most of us who work Saturday are staying through the rest of the time. So I think it, you know, it's good. This is our new normal, and we're going to embrace it and do the best we can with it.
Walt Harris fighting Astarine Overeem in the headliner fight for UFC Fight Night in Jacksonville on Wednesday. If you guys don't know Walt Harris's story, losing his stepdaughter to a violent, horrible murder, that's going to be something that I really, really want to see, that fight, and just to see how his emotions will be heading back into the octagon coming up on Saturday night, on Saturday for that event coming up in Jacksonville. Megan, stay safe. Thank you for the time. I really appreciate you coming on today. I know you're super busy.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
That's Megan O'Leary from the UFC and ESPN joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Great to get in touch with her in Jacksonville on the ground working this event. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new home code Explorer, only at progressive.com. She did not want to talk about what's interesting about, and why I led off with the question about Dominic Cruz, is that that interview with Dom has not been surfaced, has not been found online. The UFC and ESPN did not post that anywhere. Everything you see, that's why the audio for that's a little bit crappy. It's off of a TV. So nobody wants, I mean, at least from the UFC standpoint and from an ESPN standpoint, they don't want that out there. Like, they don't want that. Megan didn't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole, you could tell. So I moved off of it very quickly. But, like, no one wants to talk about Dom's comments about the referee and the stoppage and his anger towards the referee for stepping in, saying he smelled like alcohol and cigarettes. Again, Connor is going off continually here. It's about a 5-6 tweet storm about what's going on. And, I mean, it looks like Connor's not going to wait until fans are allowed back in. He wants to fight Justin Gaethje. I'll just read some of the safer for radio tweets coming up next year for the final hand. It's pushing the odds.